Welcome to the Shadow Hills Podcast. We would love to have you visit us at one of our campuses in Las Vegas or online at shadowhills.org.
Hello, church. I come to you this morning with mixed emotions, so I'm just going to go ahead and stick to my notes here. Hello, church family. I stand here today to tell you a little bit about what lies ahead for my immediate future, as well as for my wife and our children. But as I look ahead, I can't help but look back with immense gratitude for what this church family has meant to me, my wife, and my children over the years. You see, I came to this church as a neighborhood kid with rough edges, a horrible mouth, and an infatuation for the world. Earlier service, I said I couldn't go into much detail on those things because my parents were sitting in the front row. And though they're not here in this service, I still won't go into detail on those things. In all honesty, in those days, I had no desire to be any different. I had no clue who Christ was on a personal level. And I had no idea what a healthy Christian community looked like. If you would have told that kid back then that he would end up serving this church for 23 consecutive years, 4 as a volunteer and 19 on staff, that kid would have laughed in your face, and he would have done so with a few choice words. Jesus Christ has used this church to stretch, mature, and grow that kid as a person, as a pastor, as a dad, and as a husband. And I can truly say that I am eternally grateful to so many of you. I am a better human being because of your friendship, because of your mentorship, your patience with me, your kind and even corrective words at times. I can never thank you enough for serving my family and for allowing me to serve your families here at Shadow Hills. You guys are our family, and that's not going to change anytime soon. Though I am moving out of my ministry roles here at Shadow Hills, my wife, my children, and myself will continue to make this place our church home. I am stepping down from my ministry roles here at Shadow Hills in order to be trained to serve our community as a Las Vegas fire and rescue firefighter trainee. I begin this process on September 9th. And like I said, I will start as a firefighter trainee in the academy for several months. When and if I make it through that, I will become a firefighter rookie. And Lord willing, after several months of that, I will earn the right to be called a Las Vegas fire and rescue firefighter. I wish that I could go into all of the ways that I've seen God open these doors and how he has given myself, my wife, and my children affirmation after affirmation along the way. But that would take a really long time, and that would prevent us from hearing one of my favorite preachers. But in all honesty, please feel free in the coming days to ask us questions, and we're more than happy to answer those for you. This is obviously a gigantic step of faith for us. There's no guarantees in any of this process. There's no guarantees I'll make it through. And I would be a liar if I didn't tell you that I was incredibly terrified and excited at the same time. And because of that, I would ask for your continued prayers for me and my family from now until the end of January, as we take on the first phase of this journey in the academy. We love you all immensely, and we thank you.
Well, Pastor Henry has been such a blessing to our church, and the good news is he's going to continue to be a blessing to our church. And so, Henry, we love you, and we're so proud of you for following God's lead on this. I know that God's going to use you in great and miraculous ways. As he's done in the past, he's going to continue to do it in the future. So if you would, church, if you're comfortable with this, can you just stretch an arm out in Henry's direction? We're going to pray for him, and we're going to invite Mary to come up and pray for their family. Lord, we love you so much, God. You're so good to us. You're so faithful. And Lord, we thank you for this call that you've placed on Henry's life. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless him. We pray you would bless his family, Lord, through this endeavor. And we thank you, Lord, that they're going to continue here. But God, we're going to miss them as a staff member. But we thank you, God, that we continue to get to have them as brothers and sisters for their family, Lord. I want to pray blessing over them. And God, just that you would have your will and your way, Lord, for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we give one more hand?
Good morning. My name is Greg Lunsford. I am the pastor at the Shadow Hills downtown campus, and I'm excited to be here with you today. If you want to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, we're going to be talking about the King's call today. I want to take a moment real quick to update you on Pastor Michael Rochelle. He's experienced some, he's been through a couple surgeries, as you know, and you may be following on Facebook, but there is good news that he's been more alert today. His eyes are open, and he's tracking with his family members and squeezing hands. And one of the things I mentioned was that he's waking up on Sunday morning to preach. And something else I wanted to share, too, just about Henry. He mentioned he's been here serving faithfully for 23 years, 19 as a pastor. And I would be lying if I told you that I wouldn't be up here today if it wasn't for him. I was there 23 years ago in his first day of ministry. I was an eighth grader that he was leading the Bible study for. And now I get to see him kind of close out his time as a full-time pastor. And so, Pastor Henry, brother, I am a disciple of yours. He's the one that called me to ministry, to start serving in ministry, and I would not be here if it wasn't for you. Thank you, brother. I love you, man. The King's call is something that we all wrestle with at one point or another in our life, and in our faith especially. And you may have said and asked this question of, what is God's calling on my heart? What is God's calling on my life? And I used to be a youth pastor, and one question I would always get from graduating seniors was, where does God want me to go? And we seek so much of where God is leading us. We ask these questions of who God created us to be. What is my calling in life? And so today I wanted to look at the specific callings that he has laid on us as a church, and then the specific callings he has laid on us individually. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 4 and a little bit in 1 Corinthians towards the end, looking at the calling of the King. What has the King called us to do? And I want to open up by reading Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. So read along with me. Talking about Jesus, it says, "Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region in the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Pray with me. Jesus, we are so grateful that you are our King, and that you have called us unto yourself, that you have called us to be participants of the kingdom, that you've called us to bring the kingdom of light into the world of darkness, so that the people will see a great light when they see you. So be with us this morning as we open your word, convict us and move us closer towards you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Matthew is painting a really big picture about who Jesus is in these verses. As Matthew opens up his book in chapter 1, we see a long list of people that are in the genealogy of Jesus. And in that list, you will see four names that are women. And though that has huge significance in itself, another significance it has is that these four women are Gentile women. They aren't Jews. They aren't from Israel. They aren't from the people of God. And so as we see these verses in chapter 4, we see that Matthew is painting this big picture of the vastness of the love of God. And what he's saying is that the love of God is meant for everyone. You see, the Sea of Galilee, just huge sea, and it has a bunch of little towns and communities that go around it. In the day of Jesus, there was about 300,000 people that lived around the Sea of Galilee. And they were all mixed. They weren't just from Israel. They weren't just Jews, but they were Gentiles. There were people from all over the world. And so for Jesus to go into this place that was once known for darkness, Matthew is telling us, now it sees a great light. And what Jesus is doing is he's proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That the kingdom of heaven is here and now, and it is meant for everybody. The invitation is open for everybody, Jews and Gentiles alike. The loved as well as the unloved. The significant and the forgotten. This kingdom is meant for everybody, and Jesus is proclaiming that the kingdom is at hand in a region where people from all over the world would be able to hear that. He's painting this big picture that God has wanted us to know for so long, that we belong to him. Amen? That we belong together. Matthew is using the language from Isaiah here that the lost and separated from God are meant to be pulled into a place of hope that only Jesus brings. And maybe you are that person here today. And if you are, know that the King is calling you home. And this setting is such a perfect place for Jesus to be proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you notice that the kingdom of heaven isn't in the past or future tense, but Jesus is using it in the present tense. And how do we know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand when Jesus says it? Because the King himself is delivering the message. Jesus has come to bring light into darkness. Bring in this upside down kingdom into a world that is truly topsy-turvy. I want you to think about this. Jesus is bringing light into the darkness. Jesus is bringing light into your darkness. And Matthew is announcing that the king that we have all been waiting for has arrived. And he is giving hope to us all. Church, the king is calling you today. God has remembered all of you that are sick, that are forgotten. He remembers all of you that are anxious and depressed, that are struggling. And he is bringing light into your darkness. He has heard you and has answered your cry by giving you the king, his son. It says, from that moment on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus is calling people to turn away from their sin and to turn and pursue God, to turn and to follow him. This is the king's calling. And a lot of us, we like to push off callings, right? You think of a phone call. You see the family member that's calling you. I don't want to talk to them right now. You see that annoying friend that may be pestering you. You say, I'll just text them after they call me. Sorry, can't talk. Maybe you anxiously waiting a phone call from the doctor, not wanting the bad news. So you just reject it. Your boss may be calling you, and you think you could prolong this process if you just don't answer. And I don't know if you're like me, but I hate talking on the phone. It's something I don't like to do. I got about a 3-minute attention span when I'm talking to someone on the phone. I just want details and facts, and let's get out of it, right? And if you've called me and it's gone straight to voicemail, please don't be offended. Just know I didn't want to talk to you. But there are calls we try to avoid, but the question becomes, what happens? What happens when the king calls? What happens when Jesus calls us to do something? What is our response when Jesus is calling us to take a step of faith? And this morning, we are going to look at the king's call, and we're going to look at 4 specific things that he has called us to do as a church and individually. The first thing we're going to look at in the king's calling is the call to follow. The call to follow. And we're going to continue in Matthew 4, 18 through 22. And it says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Look at what Peter and Andrew and James and John left. They left their comfort. They left all they knew. They left their father because the king called. And when the king calls, you come. It's not like a mother or a father asking you to take out the garbage and you say, 5 more minutes, Mom. But it's the king. And if we are truly to profess that Jesus is the king of our life, then we answer the call when the king calls. About 9 years ago, my wife and I had moved to Portland, and I started serving in the youth ministry up there. And so what happened was I took a break from ministry when we moved up there to get established, get organized, find a church we were going to go to because we didn't know anybody. And then a few months into it, God started saying, okay, you took a break from ministry. Now you need to get back into it. He started drawing my heart to that. And so I served with Henry here for many years in the high school ministry. And so I went and talked to the youth pastor. I said, hey, I want to serve in the high school ministry. I got these are the experiences I have, and I love it. And he looked at me and he said, well, we don't need high school leaders. We need junior high leaders. And I said, well, I don't like junior hires. They're crazy. You laugh because you know, right? And then in that moment, God was convicting my heart, and he was saying, Greg, you want to serve, just go serve. And I said, look, man, just put me somewhere. And he goes, junior high it is. And a few months into it, a few months into serving there, I was teaching a lot, I was discipling, I was helping out, and he saw this gift that I hadn't seen in myself, and he said, I really see this gifting of the pastorate for you. Will you go through this pastoral internship program with us? It's about a 2-year program, and it's unpaid. And I was like, yeah. And it meant that I had to quit the job that I had. You imagine going up to your wife, your spouse, and saying, hey, I got this really great opportunity that's unpaid. And I'm going to have to quit the paid thing to follow it. And I always let my wife wrestle and pray and come to it with God. But we knew this was a step. And 9 years ago, this sermon was preached at the church we were attending. And my wife looked at me in the middle of it because we were going through these verses. And the pastor said, when the king calls, you go. When the king calls, you come. And she looked at me right then and she said, let's do it. The next day, I turned in my 2 weeks. And I was unemployed for about a month looking for work that would provide money to help support our calling and to help support my wife. And God was faithful. But it started by answering that call. When the king calls, you come. We didn't know the specifics, but what we did know was that Jesus would be with us. That Jesus would be faithful to us when we follow the King. Amen? Now think of Pastor Kevin Gimmer, who's planning Reconciled Church through the Shadow Hills family of churches. And he's begun a small group that meets here a couple times a month, and he's building a community. He's taken that step of faith. His family is taking the step of faith to start another Jesus-loving church in Las Vegas. We see that. We see believers taking that step because when the king calls, you come. Big things happen when you follow the king. So church, when the king calls, you come. The next call is a call to share the good news. The call to share the good news is the call for all of us. Let's look in Matthew 28 at the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Notice that Jesus didn't say, pastors, go out and make disciples. It didn't say, community group leaders, go out and make disciples. It didn't say, ministry leaders, go out and make disciples. This is a call for all of us. Now, it's our job as pastors and leaders to equip you for the work of the ministry, right? But it's all of our call to go out and make disciples. Jesus has called us to share the good news that though we were a sinner, that though we didn't deserve the goodness of the King, he gives us the mercy. Though in our rebellion, the king loved you, and he gave his life for you, and he died for us. Being raised 3 days later to give us life when we deserved death. That's the good news we need to share. Jesus is calling you to be an active participant in the kingdom of heaven. He is calling us to break the lightness into the darkness. He is calling us to bring the kingdom of heaven into this dark world. And it's proclaimed throughout the Bible that the world would know the good news of Jesus, so that when the king calls, you go. The next call that we have is a call to be united. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 13 says, For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one spirit. You see, God's desire has always been for all creation to know his love. He chose this tiny nation, Israel, in the Old Testament in order to show the vastness of his love to the world. But at times, Israel became selfish, and they said, no, this is my God. This is our God. I will not share him with anybody else. And we see it mostly in the book of Jonah, don't we? When this evil, wicked nation, the Ninevites, this evil people are so sinful, so detestable, and what's God's response? They need to know my love. They need to know my grace. I'm going to send a messenger to them in order to share the love of myself to them. What does the messenger say? Nope. God, I know how loving you are. I know what you're going to do. If I tell them about you, they're going to love you. They're going to repent. And I don't want that in my family. I don't want that. And we know the story where God goes as far, when Jonah tries to go as far as he can, that he would be swallowed up by this big fish. And God was calling him to go. The king was calling. And they hear the message, and they repent, and they turn to God. Jonah hates it. Sometimes we're like that as a church. We want to pick and choose who gets to hear about the love of God. They're too sinful. So are you. Somebody still shared the good news with you. I don't like their lifestyle. They don't need to learn about Jesus. Church, they're going to keep sinning until they hear the good news. And it's God's call that we would all be together. Remember the setting where Jesus is announcing that his kingdom is at hand. It is around the Sea of Galilee, where you have so many people present, where you have so many people groups represented, Jews and Gentiles alike, sinners and those that are free. He is announcing and proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that all are welcome into it through him. Jesus is the key, and if we don't give people the key, they can't get into heaven. They can't experience freedom. So it's our call to be united, to take the Jew and Gentile alike and to unite them into this one beautiful tapestry that will make up the kingdom of God. It's a beautiful picture where Jesus is putting us all together in one body through his Spirit. What God wants us to do is to share his goodness and his love to the world. Church, when the king calls, we embrace all the others that he has called as well. When the king calls, we embrace our brothers and sisters from all nations, from all people groups, because he is making us one. He is putting us together to show the vastness of his love. And the fourth call we'll talk about today is the call to come to the table. And it's this beautiful picture that we got to participate in at the beginning of service of communion, where we take the body that was given for us, and we take the blood that was shed to cover our sins and to keep us safe. And it's a call to come to the table to sit and to be with Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, and it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and we had given thanks, he broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." What's interesting about this context in 1 Corinthians of these verses is that Paul is telling the church of Corinthians that if there is a division among you, if there is a split among you, don't take communion. Because that's not Jesus. That is division. That is separation. When there is a split, when there is a divide. But what did Jesus do? What did the gospel do? The gospel brings restoration. Not only into our souls and into our life, but into the family of God. We just read how we are one body and one spirit. The gospel brings redemption, making what was once broken not only a band-aid, but making it whole again, making it brand new. Bringing what the Bible calls shalom, which is wholeness, back into our lives. And it's saying, if there's any brokenness among the church, don't even participate in it, because that's not the gospel. That's not Jesus. Jesus' death unifies. It brings us together. It makes us whole again. And it's this beautiful picture of Jesus inviting us to the table, where he's inviting us, where the kingdom is at hand, but also not only do we have an invitation to the kingdom, but when you accept the call to follow Jesus, you now have a reserved seat at the table with the king himself. How amazing is that? That he would not only invite you into the kingdom, but he would place you at the table with himself to fellowship with you, to laugh with you, to recline with you, to enjoy life forever with King Jesus. And that's a calling that we all have. The call to come to the table and commune with God. Today, God is calling you. The question you have to ask yourself is, are you ready to answer the call? Because when the king calls, you come. Today, church, you need to answer that call. It may be the answer to follow Jesus for that first time. You may be Peter, and he may be calling you to follow him for that first time, and you're stepping out in faith to receive that salvation that is only in him. And if that's you this morning, we're going to have friends down here. I want to pray and walk you through what that looks like and to receive Jesus. But I want to urge you to receive and take that call, because when the king calls, you come. It may be the answer, the call to start serving in a ministry and share Jesus with others. When the king calls, you go. And it may be a call to dive deeper with Jesus and in the community of Jesus. No matter what, church, when the king calls, you come. Stand with me and pray. Jesus, we thank you for being our King. You broke the kingdom into this dark world, bringing light, your light. And Father, not only do you want to continue breaking the light into the world, but what you want to do is break light into our lives. And I pray that we see that this morning. No matter what darkness shrouded or weak or is even in us right now, your light is going to cast that out when we follow you. My prayer this morning is we as a church respond to the call, whether it's the call to come, whether it's the call to go. It could be the call to come and accept that invitation that you have placed before us. But Holy Spirit, give us the courage to follow, because when the King calls, we come. Amen.